Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance and the Gary Snyder Show. Right alongside me is Mr. $2 Bill Josh, and we're going to be joining the Gary Snyder Show live here momentarily in just a few short minutes. And what we want to do is just start diving right into this. Josh, I know that you have a lot to talk about on this debate, so while I get our first guest on the line, go ahead and talk a little bit and give us your thoughts about last night's debate.
Well, me and you had the same thoughts last night about last night's debate. Apparently, Rick Perry thinks he's running for the president of the state of Texas. He forgot about he's running for the president of the United States. Not one time with Rick Perry asked a question last night. He did not answer with, well, down in Texas or over in Texas or in Texas or something about Texas. I'm surprised he didn't dress like the state of Texas. So I'll be shocked if he drops out if he doesn't actually consider succeeding like he ended that last night. But as a Tea Party candidate, Tea Party member, I will not back Michelle Bachmann. No way, no shape, no form, no how. Not as president, not as vice president. I will back Herman Cain or Mitt Romney. Those are the only two candidates as a Tea Party member that I see worthy of voting for.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please press 1.
Go ahead, Josh. I am so sorry. We're trying to make a connection to this guest. Go ahead.
I was saying, as a Tea Party member, the only two candidates I see worthy of voting for is Herman Cain and Mitt Romney. I don't know about you, Tom. I'm sick and tired of Rick Perry always talking about Texas. Is he the governor of Texas, or is he in love with Texas? I don't know. I don't know if you could figure it out, but his answer to everything is Texas. Not bad when he was in Indiana today, all he did was talk about Texas. About when he goes to Iowa, that's all he talks about.
Jim Carafano. Hello.
Hi. This is Tom Marcus with the Gary Snyder Show and with The Balance. Can we put you on hold real quick, please?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, one moment. So go ahead, Josh, as we connect to the Gary Snyder Show.
I was just saying, I thought it was a less than inspiring performance by Rick Perry. Mitt Romney seemed to get all the love from the moderators in a debate and the television people. I thought Herman Cain looked really, really good. I thought Michelle Bachmann did have a funny one-liner when she said, if you turn 999 upside down, the devil's in the details. But I don't think anybody's mind has changed last night.
Go right ahead, Josh. We're going to have to keep you talking, okay? So just keep talking there, buddy.
But I thought all in all it was a pretty good debate. Rick Perry is supposed to be in the state of Indiana today. I'm not sure what time his speech was in Indiana today. Wouldn't be surprised if he announced he was dropping out. I did hear you guys talk a little bit earlier on the Gary Snyder Show that there's a poll that shows Herman Cain at 40% and Mitt Romney at 22%. There's no way that's an accurate poll. There's no way that Herman Cain has searched ahead of Mitt Romney at this point. Maybe 30-30 I could see, but I don't see him being up 40-22. And I don't see Newt Gingrich being third. I don't know why you would vote for Newt Gingrich. He's smart, but he carries too much baggage, so you can't vote for him either. But I thought it was a good debate, all in all.
Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and...
And don't forget the CIE will accept corn with a 22% moisture. For more information, call 888-384-CORN. Making harvest better.
All right. Guys, this is The Balance, and we're going to join the Gary Snyder Show right here in just one moment. And we appreciate you dealing with us as we deal with our technical difficulties as we join the Gary Snyder Show.
Stop in and talk to their friendly staff with years of experience in hunting, the shooting sports, and military-style firearms. They carry a big selection of modern sporting firearms, handguns, and shotguns with one of the biggest inventories around at the best prices. Period. They also deal in NFA items such as silencers, short-barreled rifles, and yes, You can even buy a machine gun from 21st Century Firearms. Check them out online, 21stCenturyFirearms.com, or you can shop them online at shop.21stCenturyFirearms.com. Store hours are 10 to 6, Monday through Friday. Saturdays are open from 9 to 4. Any questions, give them a call, 260-824-5530.
This is Lou Holtz, and you're listening to the Gary Snyder Show, and I have no reason why.
Here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. I want to welcome in to the listeners of The Balance Radio. So welcome. All right, we're going to waste no time getting to our next guest. He is an assistant director for the Davis Institute for International Studies at the Heritage Foundation. He is here to talk to us about Iran and trying to blow up a lot of things in D.C., I guess, is one way to put it. James Carafano, did I get the name right?
Yeah, close enough.
That's all I ask. Just close enough.
James, you had an article
out today. Boy, this really should come as a surprise to no one, should it?
Well, yeah, you know, I was going back and reading every year the Department of State's required to put out a list of terrorism report and what countries are involved in terrorism. And Iran's been on that list since like 1985. And this group in particular that's been mentioned in the indictment for plotting a terrorist attack in Washington, D.C., they have been spotlighted by the State Department forever. So for the administration to come up and go, okay, now we're going to get serious about this. This is ridiculous. I mean, this is unbelievable.
For our listeners who maybe don't know what happened, give us just a brief synopsis here.
Oh, sure. So there's this group called the Quds Force, which is a special operations branch of the Iranian Guard, basically, which falls under the government of Iran. There's no debate about that. And they had two people associated with that group operating under their orders, and they were trying to basically conduct a murder for hire against the Saudi ambassador, and their plot was is to blow him up with a bomb. And what they were wanted to do is they went down to Mexico and they met with this guy that they thought was representing one of the transnational criminal cartels, and they were going to pay him a couple million bucks to basically blow this up. And the guy was turned out to be an informant for the DEA. And he said, he goes, you know, this will probably kill a lot of innocent people nearby. And they go, well, you know, we don't care, basically what they said. Anyway, so the indictment was unsealed in, I believe it was New York yesterday. One guy's in custody. One guy, they believe, fled back to Iran.
Now, as far as this goes, you know, what kind of reaction should they get? I mean, as you hear Joe Biden, and trust me, I love listening to Joe Biden talk, probably for all the wrong reasons. Stand up, Joe. But you know, what kind of reaction should this draw? And you know, Vice President Joe Biden said nothing's off the table here.
Well, it's easy. The government should do exactly the opposite of everything they've done the last 2 years. I mean, it's just that simple. They came in off – look, I mean, we've known that Iran is the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism since the fall of the Soviet Union. They knew that when they came in office. They knew that these guys have an atrocious civil human rights record. They know that they're building a nuclear weapon. They know that they had a pipeline that was sending weapons into Iraq to kill American soldiers. They knew all that. And the president's plan was, we're going to offer the hand of friendship and cut a deal with these guys. And when the people rose up against them in the Green Revolution, Obama actually sided with the government. So the plan was, you know, cut a deal. And then only did the Iranians not cut a deal, they went out of their way to send every insult Obama's way, and we basically kind of did nothing. And so this, I think, is just a natural extension of what the Iranians do. I mean, they use terrorism as a weapon of foreign policy. They always have, and the administration's done nothing to deter or work that. Look, people, this summer in June, this White House published a counterterrorism strategy. It's the White House counterterrorism strategy. It has the symbol of the White House on the cover. It was published on June 28th. Yesterday, we found out that they actually had briefed Obama on this terrorist plot. So the president signed off on a strategy in June, which went on for 19 pages and had one mention of Iran and said virtually nothing about state sponsor of terrorism as a problem, when he knew there was an ongoing plot, which if these guys had gone undetected, could have been as much a wake-up call as 9/11 in Washington, D.C., and yet he let them publish a strategy which basically ignored the whole problem.
Also joining us right now is co-host Tom Marquis and $2 Bill Josh. Tom, you got a question for Jim Carafano.
Hey, that's not your pay, is it, man?
What's that?
It's the $2 thing, that's not what you pay him, is it?
That's about what my pay is. Are you there, Tom? Do you have a question?
I am here. And actually, I tell you what, I lost connection on my end for a brief moment, but I am here and ready to go. Skype is great when it works, but when it doesn't work the way it's supposed to, it just really makes your day a miserable hump day, that's for sure. But I did have a chance to read your article, and one of the questions that I guess that I really had more than anything was, there's a lot of critics out there that say that this is just another publicity stunt, that this never really existed, and that this is just something that for conservative talk show hosts or conspiracy theorists to talk about. I don't subscribe to that theory, but I thought it would be an interesting theory to address. So what are your thoughts on that?
You mean that this didn't happen, or the administration has made this up or something?
Yeah, a little bit of both, I think.
Well, no, I ran the timeline yesterday, and it's very clear to me that this was not something that was staged by the administration, that this was forced upon them. Now, I don't know what that was, if it was, you know, they had to drop the indictment because they had to arrest the guy or something else, or they were afraid it was going to come out or something. But they didn't choreograph this. They didn't stage this. They basically had to break the news because they had to unseal the indictment in New York. So that tells me that this was not necessarily something the administration wanted to come out in this manner at this time. So, I mean, it seems like there were meetings canceled, people rushed to the White House, and they kind of threw this together at the last minute because they had to break the news.
How reluctant think they were to break it like that?
Well, you know, it makes them look like boobs. I mean, you know, you look at everything we've done around the last 2 years, it's accomplished nothing. It makes the president look foolish. Like I said, you know, now he's caught having published a counterterrorism strategy, which basically said nothing about the Iranian terrorist threat. And here he knew there was a major Iranian terrorist plot on U.S. soil, and he published the strategy and didn't even, you know, and pretended like the problem didn't even exist. So it kind of makes him look a bit, you know, disingenuous. So I think this creates all kinds of credibility issues for the administration.
All right, is Josh with us? You have a question, Josh?
Yeah, Josh is with us. Josh, do you have a question?
I do have a question, also kind of a comment. So would you think that maybe this is actually going to cast a new light on the 2012 election? If you think back to 2008, one of the key things that John McCain had over Barack Obama was Barack Obama was a foreign policy novice. He had no experience. Since he became president, apparently his policy on foreign relations is, please don't beat me up too bad. Do you think it'll actually encourage the president to get a backbone, or do you think it'll be an issue that'll be around his neck the entire campaign?
Well, I think it's too far out for the election for things like this to influence voters. But here's the problem. This president is going through very similar to what Jimmy Carter experienced. Carter came in office with kind of the same game plan, you know, be nice to everybody. And what happened was, is after 2 years, people figured out this guy's a patsy, and they went after him. And he just had this kind of cascading, you know, bad things happening in the last 2 years of his administration, everything from the Iranian hostage thing to the Russian invasion of Afghanistan. That's going to be Obama's problem, is people are going to continue to come after him over the next 2 years. He's going to have a very difficult – I mean, I'm a policy guy. I'm in a nonpartisan institute, so I don't do politics, you know. But he's going to have – I do the policy of politics. If he tries, in a sense, to kind of rediscover his inner Ronald Reagan over the next 2 years, he's going to have a very difficult time doing that without alienating the only people that really, really support him. You know, even look at Libya, which, you know, he did Libya, but that was not in the Ronald Reagan mold. It was, we're only doing Libya because we have no interest in this, and we're going to leave from behind. And, you know, I mean, it was about as, you know, a disconnected, you know, intervention as you could possibly imagine, because that was the only thing his, you know, core supporters would tolerate. So, you know, he's going to have a very difficult time kind of channeling his inner Ronald Reagan and trying to be he can say he's a tough national security president all he wants, but, you know, he at some point he has to explain why the bad guys keep coming after him.
I like to pride myself on asking questions that cover about everything we're talking about. Is there anything that maybe you wanted to touch on that maybe we didn't have the foresight to ask you?
Well, there's another kind of news item that everybody has kind of missed, which was last year, or actually a couple of months ago, it was the news broke that last year the Russians orchestrated a terrorist bombing against the U.S. embassy in Georgia, and the administration not only didn't do anything. They actively kind of hid the fact, and they told the Georgians to keep quiet about it. And then, you know, because they were negotiating a treaty with the Russians, and they didn't want to upset that. The news came out months and months after that. So look at this from the Iranians' perspective. You know, when the news breaks, they go, oh, well, the Russians did a terrorist attack against the United States. And not only did the United States not, you know, violently react to it, they tried to hide the fact. So what kind of deterrent do we think that posed to the Iranians?
Probably the same kind of deterrent that we've had through this whole administration.
That would be my guess. So, I think, you know, this administration, basically, in order to put these guys back in the box, I think we would have to do a lot of things. First of all, we would have to physically attack targets of the Quds, just like we went after Al-Qaeda in Pakistan. We would actually have to hit targets in Iraq to get their attention. You know, and then we'd have to start not just doing that like, you know, Clinton did, you know, throw a few cruise missiles at them and walk away, which is kind of the Obama thing. You know, then we'd have to demonstrate that we're here to stay. So we'd have to stop leaving Iraq and really make a statement that we're not going to let those guys meddle in Iraq. We'd have to permanently move an aircraft carrier back into the Mediterranean and stop our defense cuts. You know, we'd have to ramp up our missile defense. We'd have to really ramp up our campaign against the Iranians and, you know, going after their human rights abuses, really encouraging the dissidents, really put the heat on these guys. And we really would have to actually, you know, the administration prides themselves on getting all these sanctions. But what they don't tell you is they do hardly anything to enforce them. We'd have to really seriously put the screws on the sanctions. So basically, what these guys would have to do is do exactly the opposite of almost everything they're doing now.
And there really isn't much chance of getting any tougher sanctions on Iran, especially with China and Russia sitting there with a veto.
I'd be happy if they vigorously enforced the sanctions that were on the books. I'd be happy, and they're not even doing that. And even the fact that we're half-heartedly enforcing the sanctions, it's having an impact on the country and making the regime much less popular. I mean, you know.
All right, Tom, you got any more questions for James?
I've got one more, and maybe it's just me just trying to wrap my mind around everything. Why would the Obama administration unseal this, make it public to the United States? Is this some sort of – do you believe that this is some sort of a political move by the Obama administration?
No, I don't think so. I think it's because they didn't have an option. Look, you know, they roped themselves in – first of all, they roped themselves in and said, we're just going to treat this as like a crime thing. So they didn't have a lot of options on what they could do. It's not like they could pick these guys up and, you know, do something with them and do a covert thing. They can't do that because they said, you know, we're going to treat them like criminals. So that means they had to – arrest the guy. They had to release the indictment. So, you know, in a sense, they didn't have a whole lot of options. I really think their hand was forced, and because of the way they've chosen to, you know, fight the war on terror and kind of tie their hands behind their back, and because they've been trying to hide how ineffective their Iran policy is going to be, they were just kind of stuck with this. They're just trying to make the best out of the deal they got.
All right, Josh, anything else from you?
No, not on the Iran situation so much, but what do you think about this trade war that's supposedly getting ready to go on or is going on with China? Is it true or is it just a bunch of hot air?
Well, it's a stupid idea. I mean, the currency bill, and there's actually a great – I'm not a currency expert. We do have some currency expert here at Heritage, and there's a lot of material on our website at heritage.org. There's no serious analyst that think this is the right thing to do, that going after currency is the right way to do that. There's a lot of bad behavior on the part of the Chinese in terms of illegal subsidies and different behaviors, which could be addressed through the World Trade Organization and the United States. Again, because we're be nice with all our guys and they'll like us thing. We don't press the Chinese in the WTO. In the WTO, we have a perfect instrument to beat these guys up over the head about bad economic behavior. And rather than do that, we go and we do some kind of really PR legislation, which is probably going to be self-defeating. So there's a great paper on our website by our analyst, Derek Scissors, if folks are interested in that. It's at heritage.org, and it talks about the right way to really, really kind of beat China up over its bad economic behavior. But again, this administration isn't doing that because it's just they don't like taking these people on. I think, unfortunately, the people that are frustrated with that sometimes pick up the wrong tool to try to beat these guys with.
All right, James, I've got one last question for you, and probably the toughest one you're going to answer from us. You're an assistant director for the Davis Institute of International Studies at the Heritage Foundation. On the employment hierarchy there, is assistant director above senior fellow or below senior fellow?
Yeah, dude, I have so many titles. The show, they would last longer than the show. So I was actually promoted. So I'm like a director of one thing. I'm a deputy director of something else. I don't pay much attention to titles. I coordinate all the national security and foreign policy research. I tell people what to do and they do it. I don't care what they call me. Because mostly what they call me is things you wouldn't pronounce on the radio anyway.
I tell people what to do too, but they don't do it.
Yeah. Well, I was in the Army for 25 years,
Well, you got a few on me. I was just in about 7. So, all right, James Garofano, he's Assistant Director at Davis Institute of International Studies, the Harris Foundation. How about website, Twitter, any of that good stuff?
Well, the website is www.heritage.org. All kinds of great information's on all great information on all kinds of issues. I really recommend the website. My Twitter account, if you want to follow me, is JJ Carafano, Carafano. And we have a lot of fun on the Twitter account. So, all right, man.
And I can expect to follow back?
Oh, you do. No problem.
Oh, I look forward to it. All right, James, thanks a lot, and it's been a pleasure.
Good talking to you.
All right, James Carafano, Assistant Director at Davis Institute for International Studies at the Heritage Foundation. Thanks for joining us. Now, before we go to a quick break, I need to tell you about Schaefer's Indiana Turf. They're back. That's right. They're back as a sponsor. They're up in Fort Wayne, and they are the place to go for all of your mowing needs this fall and all of your snow removal needs this winter, including Ariens, snow throw snow blowers, Gravely mowers, and of course, they're one of Indiana's largest Dixie Chopper dealers. Schaefer's Indiana Turf has been in business since 1929, and if you're doing the math, that's a really long time. Or if you're really doing the math, that's about 82 years of serving Fort Wayne, Marion, Huntington, and the surrounding area. Keep in mind, they still carry all the top brands, Ariens Snow Throw, Gravely, Hustler, Dixie Chopper, and yes, Echo Chainsaws and Leaf Blowers. My guess is you probably need one of those about yesterday. Now, give them a call, 260-489-3391. You can visit them at their store at 5202 West Washington Center Road in Fort Wayne, or of course, you can just visit them on the web at indianaturf.com. Remember, if you grow it, mow it, or blow it, Schaefer's can help. All right, guys, are you still there?
We are here, ready to rock and roll, sir.
Yeah, I just love technology. I mean, it's pretty awesome.
It is. It is pretty awesome. And what's even more awesome is that you are now simulcast with the Balance with Balance Radio nationwide. Everybody gets to hear the Gary Snyder Show and the Balance all merged together in one show. Fantastic.
How cool is that?
It is pretty cool. We are literally all over the United States right now. We are now a national audience, so be on your best behavior.
I will, but I got a lot of commercials coming up.
Okay, that's fine. We'll join you again right back at 5:37, and we'll break down sports with you right here on the on the Balance Radio Network and the Balance wrap-up.
All right, you're listening to the Gary Snyder Show here on 1400 WBAT.
Good evening. This is Diane from Central Indiana Ethanol. I have the Chicago Board of Trade Grain Market Update.
All right. Welcome back to the Balance Radio across the nation. And right here with us is Mr. $2 Bill Josh. Josh, we're going to take a very quick break, and when we get back, we're going to break down the scores over the last 24 hours right here on the Balance.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
All right, and welcome back coast to coast right here on the Balance Radio Network. My name's Tom Mark with El Presidente. Right alongside me is the host, co-host of the Balance Wrap-Up and Balance Gridiron, Mr. $2 Bill Josh. We will be joining Gary Snyder's show live again here in just a very short, few short minutes where we will be talking sports on the Gary Snyder Show. But Josh, what happened in the last 24 hours in the world of sports?
Well, the Tigers beat the Rangers 5-2 last night. Texas is up 2-1 in that series. Game 4 is going on right now. Unfortunately, I don't have a score update to give you. St. Louis and Milwaukee tied 1-1. I know Tom's going to be watching Game 3 tonight at 8 o'clock on TBS. Theo Epstein has officially left the Boston Red Sox for the Chicago Cubs. Moving over to the NCAA, Tom Hagee's in trouble yet again. Before we can even finish getting out of trouble from the first time, the Hoosier basketball program is in trouble yet again for illegal recruiting. Apparently, Tom Crean went up to Hamilton Southeastern High School last week to meet with Gary Harris. And if you live in the metro area or if you follow college basketball, you know who Gary Harris is. He's like the number one player in the country who's a senior this year. And his assistant told him it was okay to go up there, you know, go pull him out of class, visit with him or whatever. It just happened that it was on a non-recruiting day, and I guess the assistant coach got his days confused, so IU could be in trouble again. Unfortunately, they're on suspension still until November 24th. My question to you, Tom, since IU's in trouble again for recruiting, before they even get out of trouble the first time, do you think this is going to have any major ramifications? Do you think the NCAA is going to decide the Hoosiers have been punished enough and move on?
Well, I tell you what, I'm interested to see how this pans out. I'm still really getting all the details about this, and so you know, I'm really interested to see how this will pan out. And so, yeah, I'm not exactly sure, but you're right. It's going to be a great game tonight. Louis Cardinals, Milwaukee Brewers. I tell you what, Monday night the St. Louis Cardinals put a whomping. I'm going to use that word, romping, on the Milwaukee Brewers. And Albert Pujols very well could be his last season with the St. Louis Cardinals. We hope not, but very well could be. Josh, real quickly, while we're waiting to rejoin the Gary Snyder Show, what are your thoughts on the Brewers and the Cardinals?
Well, it should be an exciting game for you tonight. You know, I picked the St. Louis Cardinals to win the World Series before the playoffs even began, and I'm going to stick with the St. Louis Cardinals as my World Series favorite. It should be a great game tonight. I plan to be watching it when it comes on at 8 o'clock.
All right, guys, we're going to join the Gary Snyder Show live again, coast to coast, right here on the Balance Radio Network.
WBAT forecast for the rest of today, mostly sunny, highs around 73. Tonight, increasing cloudiness with a chance of a shower after midnight, lows around 55. Tomorrow, rain likely, highs around 67. And tomorrow night, cloudy, a chance of showers, lows near 50 degrees. You're listening to 1400 WBAT, your connection for sports, news, and information.
Gary Snyder Show. This is Michelle Caruso Cabrera from CNBC's Power Lunch, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
Hey, kid, do I have your attention? I know the way you've been living. I'm no reckless tragedy, and this welcome to the family. Hey! Time will alter your vision. Never in question, lethal injection. Welcome to the family.
Not long ago, you find the answers were so crystal clear. Within a day, you find
yourself. All right, we are back here on the Gary Snyder Show, and joining the audience of the Balance Radio, this is the Gary Snyder Show. Welcome. All right, before we get back to co-host Tom Marquis and $2 Bill Josh, as you all know, if you've been paying any attention at all, and if you haven't, shame on you. I just got some new carpet in my house. Ha! Bet you didn't. But if you want it, I know where you can go to get it. Now, when I was looking for new carpet for my living room, I did what everybody does. I went to the big box stores, but when I did this, I found something was missing. That's right, service. Then a friend recommended Lehman Floor Covering in Huntington. Not only did Lehman Floor Covering have all the top brands of carpeting, Mohawk, Stainmaster, Baylo, and Shaw, they also had something that was missing from every other place I checked out. Great customer service, attention to detail, and that personal touch. So if you're looking for new carpet, hardwood floors, tile, laminate, vinyl, heck, they even specialize in new baths and kitchens and carry H&K cabinets made right here in Marion. Lehman Floor Covering will have what you need with the customer service you deserve. Lehman Floor Covering is your one-stop shop from ceiling to floor. And you know what? They would not have been in business for over 50 years. 50 people, 50 years, if they weren't doing it exactly right. Call 260-356-7226. Again, 260-356-7226 for a free estimate, or you can visit them on the web at laymanfloorcovering.com. You can visit their newly expanded store in Huntington at 1940 Edna Avenue. And if you can't remember all that, all you really need to do is just go to GaryLSnyder.com. You will see the logo, Lehman Floor Covering. Click on it. Like them on Facebook. You'll be the first to know about all their sales and specials. All right, Tom, Josh, are you there?
I am here. We are absolutely here, and myself and $2 Bill Josh are here, and you're live across the nation on the Balance Radio Network.
Boy, you make me sound important.
You know what? We tried to...
Josh, you don't mean that.
He just wants a coffee mug.
You want my mug on your mug, Josh?
I actually would like a Gary Snyder coffee mug.
I can probably arrange that for you. All right, we are going to talk baseball, but I thought before we get into last night's playoff game, I thought we would visit the breaking news about Mr. Epstein heading to Chicago. So there may be hope in Wrigleyville after all in the upcoming years.
Well, Josh, I'm going to let you go ahead and take this real quickly, but I honestly, you know, obviously everybody knows my feelings about the Cubs on a personal level, but on a media level, on my media hat, put my media hat on here, I think it's probably one of the best decisions that the Chicago Cubs could do to get Epstein on board with them. Now comes the question is how hard and how much money are they willing to spend to get Mr. Albert Pujols, Josh?
Well, I'm not shocked that Theo Epstein left the Boston Red Sox. As a Red Sox fan, thank you for 9 wonderful, glorious years in Boston. You won the 2 World Series championships. You ended the curse of the Bambino. The real question in the story goes, what exactly did the Red Sox get out of this deal from the Chicago Cubs? And has Mike Quadi been fired yet? Or is Theo waiting to do that tomorrow?
Why would you ever fire Quadi? Seriously.
I have a feeling.
That's the biting and cynical sarcasm of the Gary Snyder Show, by the way.
I'm going to go ahead and
you got to do this one at a time. Go ahead, Josh.
I'm going to go ahead and predict right now that Theo Epstein will bring Terry Francona to the Windy City with him.
Well, here's what
I think.
That
is a pretty big prediction, and I hope you're right.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what I think. I think they're still working out the conditions of the contract with Epstein, and I really think one of the big things that that the Red Sox will put in place will be you cannot bring any Red Sox employees with you, no matter what their caliber is, no matter what their position is. I think what's going to happen is you're going to see maybe some minor league players get traded with the Cubs in situations like that. Maybe that can happen. But honestly, I think Theo Epstein is going to have to just start over from scratch. I think he was really the scapegoat, no pun intended, for the Boston Red Sox, and now he comes over to the Chicago Cubs. I think it's a good match for the Cubs. Again, and my question is, how hard will he work, you guys, to get Mr. Albert Pujols?
My guess is whoever gets Pujols, they're not going to have to work hard against the Cardinals. They're going to have to work hard against other teams.
Well, here's the thing. I think really honestly, and I don't just say this because I love, adore, and worship the St. Louis Cardinals. I honestly say this. I just think that the St. Louis Cardinals will work it out. I don't know that they're going to pay him the kind of money that he's certainly worth. But I don't know that he'll get – I think he'll back off the amount of money that he's demanding from the St. Louis Cardinals. I think he'll look at loyalty, and I think a lot of things will go a long way, especially if the St. Louis Cardinals manage to make it to the World Series and even win the World Series. So I wouldn't quite count Albert Pujols not wearing a St. Louis Cardinal uniform, but obviously at the end of the season – that's going to be the first thing on the forefront of everybody's mind, and it's certainly going to be the thing that media guys like us are going to sit around and talk about until that, and anticipate and predict, and until that new contract is worked out.
What do you think, Josh?
I'm going to have to disagree with you, Tom, but I think it's awesome that Tom's so innocent about him. Think that there's any chance on God's green earth the St. Louis Cardinals keep Albert Pujols for even a single red penny less than what he's worth. He's the greatest. If he's not the greatest, he's in the top 5 greatest players of all time. If Albert Pujols tells St. Louis Cardinals he wants $35 million a year, it won't matter if they have to cut Carpenter, Rain, White, Holiday, Berkman. They'll cut and trade whoever they have to come up with to give Albert Pujols $35 million, so I do think he'll be a Cardinal, but he won't sign for one penny less than what he wants.
That sounds like fighting words there, Tom.
Oh, it is. We get into these kind of fighting words all the time, but I absolutely, I think that right now we just got to focus on the St. Louis Cardinals winning the pennant and winning the World Series, which is an uphill battle, and I think that's really all the club is focusing on right now.
Well, let's move to the actual on-field play. The Tigers get back into the series with a 5-2 win. Was it 5-2 win last night?
Yeah, I mean, they really showed some grit there in Game 3. And I know, Josh, you are an American League kind of guy because it kind of goes along with the 5-2 victory over the Rangers, by the way. So, Josh, we'll let you go ahead and take the American League, and I'll jump in, obviously, with the National League because I am the foremost expert of the St. Louis Cardinals and self-proclaimed at that.
You are the self-proclaimed expert of the St. Louis Cardinals, but you are pretty smart about the Cardinals. But about the Texas Ranger Detroit Tigers series, it was a 5-3 win for the Detroit Tigers last night. They finally got their bats going. They're in the friendly grounds of Comerica Park. They look good. They got good pitching. They look like the better team, to be honest with you, last night. They kind of roughed off C.J. Lewis. You know what he thought could be roughed up to everybody. Pretty much thought he was untouchable in this year's playoffs. If the Tigers can win today, I'm going to go ahead and say Detroit comes back and shocks the Texas Rangers in six games. Just because I've said all along that the Tigers have more talent than the Rangers do. The Rangers would be a better story, but this is the playoffs. This is the World Series. It's not about story. It's about talent.
Oh, you know, when I look at this, I would tend to agree with you. If they can come back and get this win and get it tied up 2-2, this vaunted Texas Ranger machine may start to not produce like they should. It's amazing what pressure can do to a team. And being up 2-0 and then finding yourself tied 2-2, the pressure there on a team that really kind of choked last year could just be, pretty great.
Oh, I absolutely do agree. I apologize. I'm trying to keep the background noise down a little bit. Obviously, because like I said a while ago, I lost Skype, so it's just having to bear with that for just a moment. But I think here's the thing. Moving over to the National League, the Philadelphia Phillies will have all off season to really just like ask themselves, WTF. They let the St. Louis Cardinals get the best of them. Meanwhile, the Phillies fans are just – I don't even know if they want to watch the NLCS, but obviously I'm sure that they're rooting for the Milwaukee Brewers. The Cardinals series is now tied at 1-1, so the game tonight's going to be a fantastic game. But just as the Phillies did, the Brewers lost home field advantage to the St. Louis Cardinals, and are now more and more danger of digging themselves into deeper trouble. Because I can tell you one thing, that crowd is going to be loud and big tonight at Busch Stadium, and just like the Phillies in Game One of the NLDS, the Brewers mainly survived their Game One with the Cardinals on October 9th. So I can tell you one thing: on the strength of the two teams, the St. Louis Cardinals are starting to have the advantage. And just like the Phillies blew a 4-0 lead in Game 2, while the Brewers never had a lead to blow and gave up 12 runs. That cannot happen tonight, and they're at home against they're on the road against a very good home team that plays extremely well at home. So if the Brewers are headed down the same path as the Phillies, they need to change their game plan a little bit on that as well. Josh, what are your thoughts on tonight's game, the St. Louis Cardinals and the Milwaukee Brewers?
Hey Josh, hold those thoughts for a minute. I've got to take our last break of the evening. Can you guys hold through? Are you guys still there? Are you listening to the Gary Snyder Show here on 1400 WPAT?
There's a dream only you can dream, a life only you can live, a space only you can fill. That space is here at Indiana Wesleyan University. Our adult degree program offers accelerated degree options for working adults with adult-friendly admissions, academic.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Open the fridge and stuff, and there are always these foods laid out for us, but little pre-wrapped sausages and things.
They have pre-wrapped sausages, but they don't have pre-wrapped bacon.
Well, can you blame them?
Yeah.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you a fur coat, but not a real fur coat. That's cruel. And if I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you an exotic pet.
Yep, like a llama or an emu.
And if I had $1 million.
We're back here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. We're joined by the Balance Radio Network and their audience right now. All right, before we get back to Tom and Josh, look outside. Kind of nice, isn't it? It's not going to stay that way forever. Winter is rapidly approaching, and time is running out to get that much-needed work done on your home. Got a leaky roof? Storm damage? Call Dominion Home Builders now, 317-523-8414. Dominion Home Builders is an honest, top-notch general contractor serving not only central Indiana, but north central and east central Indiana, too. Call them today, 317-523-8414. Again, that is 317-523-8414. Or you can visit them online at dhbindiana.com. Dominion Home Builders, structurally sound, distinguished by excellence. All right, guys, so what happens tonight in tonight's games? Prove your worth here to me.
All right, Josh, go ahead.
I'm going to go ahead and say that the St. Louis Cardinals are going to win there at home in the beautiful, beautiful Busch Stadium. I'm going to say it's one of the nicest ballparks in the National League, if not all of Major League Baseball. And besides St. Louis Cardinals win, a Cardinals win equals a happy Tom on Thursday.
That's absolutely right. And I tell you what, I love to watch the Cardinals. Everybody knows that. But at the same time, I really think that the Cardinals have an advantage. And there's a reason that they call it home field advantage. And if you've ever seen the St. Louis Cardinals play at home, and I tell you what's really great and what I think is really, really sweet about this whole Cardinals-Brewers series, the Cardinals and the Brewers play each other quite a lot during the regular season. They know each other very, very well. They know how to read each other, and it's almost like they're playing themselves in a lot of ways. And the good thing about it is when you look back at the Brewers and how they played the St. Louis Cardinals this year, I think that it weighs in favor of the St. Louis Cardinals. Like I said, they play at a fantastic ballpark, and it certainly is one of the best ballparks, if not the best ballpark in the nation. So absolutely, I can tell you one thing. I think the Cardinals come away with this. I don't really think that they're going to be able to take as much of a chance as they did on Monday night, but I certainly think they come away with this with a two-run win, and probably somewhere along the ninth inning that'll be decided, Gary.
Well, it's hard to go against a team in home field advantage, but I think the Milwaukee Brewers, when you look at their lineup and what they've done all season, sure they're young, but they play with a lot of enthusiasm. I think they give them a game tonight, and I think they score a late run and hold off the Cardinals in the ninth to get this win and go up 2-1.
Well, and you know what? That's a very good, very good possibility, like I said. And this is a hard game to call, especially it being the type of game that it is. And the Cardinals and the Brewers are very, very familiar with playing each other. But I just think momentum, and we've talked about this a lot here on this show and on your show also, Gary, I just think momentum has a lot going forward in this game. And I just think that with Albert Pujols, you know, when he's on, of course, you've got – just all the other great Cardinal players, of course. And don't get me wrong. Obviously, the Brewers have some great players as well. And Josh, I know you always have some thoughts on how a team can beat the Cardinals. But you've said all along that the St. Louis Cardinals are going to win the World Series this year. So, what does the Brewers have to do, Josh, to beat the Cardinals?
Well, they got to get a good 9 innings out of their starting pitching. They got to get hits. They got to steal some bases. They got to make this a 9 inning marathon. Not something that's over in just a few innings. But Tom, I don't think they can do it. I'm convinced the St. Louis should be up 2-0. Has every right to be up 2-0 in this series. I don't think Milwaukee can get it done tonight.
Well, one thing is for sure, guys. We're absolutely going to find out tonight. The St. Louis Cardinals and the Milwaukee Brewers, Gary.
Should be an interesting game, I probably won't be watching because Boston is playing Carolina on Versus tonight in the NHL. That's probably where my attention will be.
Well, and I tell you what, like we talked a little bit yesterday right here on the Balance Wrap-Up about how good hockey is. And, you know, we're not going to have basketball, so there's probably going to be a lot of carryover fans as well. And I like the Versus Network, and you know, especially with their coverage over the IndyCar and such. And Josh is a big hockey fan. I know he likes the Penguins quite a lot. Aren't you a Penguin fan, Josh?
I am a Penguin fan, and here just a few minutes before the end of the show, I have some sad sports news to bring up near the end of the show.
Oh, what a teaser. Seriously. All right, in the NHL tonight, we have Colorado visiting Columbus. Columbus sucks. Colorado sucks. Should be a really boring game. How do you really feel, Gary? Vancouver visiting Philadelphia, and Philadelphia's home opener tonight. That should be pretty awesome. And Boston visits Carolina. Boston 0-2, winless on the season so far, visiting a Carolina team that is really shorthanded right now.
Well, Josh, it's getting to the end of the show, so why don't you untease us?
Well, former Valparaiso head coach Homer Drew and his wife were both diagnosed with cancer yesterday. They haven't released if it's terminal cancer. From the reports I've heard, it could be. Homer Drew is a college basketball legend. Sure, he may have never won the national championship up at Valparaiso. That's kind of up in Gary Snyder's area. Gary, what's your thoughts on Homer and his wife both being diagnosed with cancer at the same time?
You know, what are the odds? I mean, it's bad enough for one spouse to get cancer. And, you know, usually when that happens, you have a spouse that is, you know, kind of the caretaker of the other one, whether it's terminal or not. You still have a lot of surgery and chemo to go through. But for both of them to be diagnosed pretty much the same time, to me, it's just amazing.
I have never heard of, especially a husband and wife being diagnosed at the same time with cancer. And, you know, cancer is such a dreadful disease. And obviously one of the things here in October, we talk about breast cancer, but there's various different types of cancer. There's actually a guy in our church that has sinus cancer. So cancer is a terrible, terrible disease, and it is. Whenever you see somebody in the sports community, or even not necessarily in the sports community, it's sad when it happens to anybody. When you see someone that spent their whole life just really working hard and trying to be a success and succeed and see this happen, and especially with their spouse at the same time on the same day, that's horrific.
It is, and, you know, obviously he's most remembered for running out onto the court and grabbing his son when his son hit that winning three-pointer from, I'm not going to say half court, but at least the pretty far back. That's how, most people remember him, and taking a small school like that and doing what he did was just amazing. And, both of them come through this okay. Now, hey, real quick, I need to let our listeners know, tomorrow on the Gary Snyder Show at about 4:30, we have former Secretary of State George Shultz joining the show. So huge guest. We continue our tradition of bringing you the guests you want to hear from in a way that only we can. All right, real quick, Josh, start it off. We got about 10 seconds here. You do anyway.
All right, make sure you tune in tonight and watch either the Carolina, Boston, or St. Louis and Milwaukee.
All right, Tom, wrap it up for us. You got about 20 seconds, and then I'll take us out. Earth to Tom. All right, Tom is obviously will be back tomorrow here on the Gary Snyder Show. Remember, good morning, Grant County in the morning. Brad Luzatter, Kathy Moritz, and Tony Slocum from the Peru State Police, and on the Gary Snyder Show tomorrow, very special guest, former Secretary of State George Shultz. You've been listening to the Gary Snyder Show here on 1400 WBAC.
Boom! It was the worst thing I ever heard. It was terrible.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah?
Well, there were parts of it I liked.
Yeah, I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great.
It's wonderful.
Oh, bravo.
More.
Boo!
Boo!
That was the worst thing I ever heard.
It was terrible.
Horrendous.
Well, it